Just 20 minutes. 20 minutes. 20 minutes. I don't know. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. Welcome to Tippy Tappy Sports. You're with the Brothers Timms once again. What a surprise. It's been a while, but it's Aaron Timms joining me all the way from New York City. Aaron, which bar have you been to tonight?
Had some guests. Spent at the mates bar.
Yeah.
Just down at mates bar with all my mates.
Yeah. you and Justin Langer just there with your mates.
JL.
Yeah.
Well, you're a big fan of JL, aren't you? Have you been in touch with him lately since you had a cup of tea with him in 2017?
No, I haven't. I should send him an email. You know, I think it's justinlanger@outlook.com.
You're mostly on email terms with him, not
it's an email,
or WhatsApp. Yeah, he never coughed up the phone number.
No, he never coughed up the WhatsApp, like the old boys WhatsApp group or anything like that. Maybe he should be on OnlyFans with Nick Kyrgios.
Yay, there we go. That's what you wanted to talk about, the Nick Kyrgios OnlyFans. Now, have you subscribed to that yet, mate?
No. I mean, that's the least interesting thing about tennis, which we'll obviously come to later.
I'd be very surprised if he's active on. Let's take a look. I'm just touch typing as we speak.
Yeah.
OnlyFans, yeah. Nick Kyrgios. Here we go.
Yeah.
Always. Oh, he's got this series on. We'll just talk about Kyrgios, because was he commentating on the Australian coverage of the Australian Open?
Yes, he was. And
yeah, so he was, yeah.
Well, he also got stuck doing. They also gave him the mantle of doing quite a few of those stupid courtside interviews, like post match.
Oh, yeah.
All of which were basically rubbish.
I mean, he's jumped the shark. I mean, you know, I sort of anointed him as a great commentator, and now he's sort of bought into his own hype, and kind of sucks now.
Yeah, there's only sort of so much cachet you get as being a pretty good former player.
Yeah, he's basically a former player already, isn't he? I mean, he said he's ready to retire. He's ready to pack it in. I mean, pretty much within the first few days of doing the commentary for the Paris Masters, he was sort of talking about how, you know, he's only got a year left in him or whatever. And yeah, now he's sort of seen the reaction his commentary has had. I mean, his commentary does lean very heavily on the fact that he's a player. So it's a lot of discussion of, you know, platform serve versus step up serve, you know, touch at the net. He needs a winner here, kind of thing.
Which is something that anyone can say.
You could do it. You could be doing that. You know, where's your invitation?
I'll do courtside
interviews after the matches. I mean, there is stuff he says that I think is interesting, and you know, I think he's got sort of the inklings of a personality. I mean, he hasn't quite sort of figured out what he's going to be as a commentator yet, I don't think, and probably that personality won't fully take shape until he properly retires, because right now he's just sort of, you know, doing this in-game strategy stuff. But isn't there sort of all this discussion of how he wants to be a coach, because he's the great strategist who's operated all these years without his own coach, and he's such a greeter of the game, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, but he's now mumbling about coming back to play.
Yeah, he's got it. Well, I mean, we're just looking at his OnlyFans here. Obviously, it's all
Pegging
the
videos.
images are all locked in the bunker today. But it's like, it just looks like sort of tweets in the bunker today at Rod Laver, going to have some fun with Johnny Mac. I don't think that's a sex video. You know, I'm coming back, kind of. Well, that could be a sex video, but that could be a sex video. AO starting this week, getting ready to react to the 2024 AO draw. Next picks every day. I'm going to give you some of my picks for random matches. This doesn't seem like in any way interesting.
No.
Or probably the greatest meal on earth. Pho. He's a big fan of the
Salt Bay.
Of pho. There we go. So he loves a good Vietnamese broth. with noodles in it, sort of slightly kind of slightly boring noodles. I mean, let's be honest, the noodles are not, they're always the low light of the pho, right? You know, you're there for the broth, you're there for the meat on top, you're there for the you know, the bean sprouts for the herbs,
the basil, you know, the acid,
the Thai basil, the acid, obviously, that you put in, the jalapenos, all that kind of stuff. But the noodles, you get the tissues, noodles at the bottom. It's like, the tissues, and there are the little plate next to it where you squeeze the hoisin and then the sort of sriracha, whatever, sort of, you know, kind of drape the meats through that.
Yeah.
But the noodles are always such a letdown. I mean,
well, they're just a bit nothing. They're a bit nothing. Like, that's,
well, it's just filler. It's just filler, it is, isn't it? It's such a big bowl of soup, but it's like, you know, 90% noodle.
I mean, what would be a better idea? You sort of tap into the whole wellness and, you know, and start a food chain. It would actually just be pho without the noodles. You just sort of hand out these cups of soup.
That could be huge. Noodleless pho.
Just nude-free. Nude on nude.
Nude-free. Free, for free.
Yeah, for free.
For free. There we go. For free. Yeah.
For free.
That could be, yeah.
For freaker.
Register that as a company name now. Now, yeah. Do it.
Just add that to the trundlers.com portfolio.
Yeah.
A group of companies.
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah, Kyrgios to talk about some rubbish. Sport. Look, yeah, I mean,
wanted to talk about some sport. I mean, no, I still think he's good as a commentator, and he's good as a personality. But I think he's sort of too nice, actually, in many ways, because he's sort of talking to these kind of country club morons on ESPN and stuff, who are the anchors of the tennis broadcasting universe in the US, and he's sort of quite deferential. There's all this stuff about, you know, he's got this show now that's going to be on ESPN called Good Trouble, right? It's sort of the talk show with, he's going to be talking to, you know, Kevin Durant or whatever, and talk about how naughty they are, and, you know, it's all obviously nonsense, but it's sort of stuff like that, which, yeah, it kind of, you know, trades on his sort of bad boy image, but he's the way that he actually presents himself, or has presented himself to date in the world of tennis broadcasting in the US, is just very like polite and deferential and, you know, informed and, you know, nice. And what we really want to see is him sort of ripping into John McEnroe, who's, you know, an extremely annoying personality. It's just, well, doesn't go away.
That's the thing about the tennis commentary. It's like it's Channel 9 now. They just have too many people. You've got sort of Todd Woodbridge doing his boring Shire kind of bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got Leighton Hewitt as well. You then have John McEnroe. You still have Jim Courier. And then you've got Kyrgios over the top,
right,
kind of being a combination of all of them. And it's just kind of annoying. It's like, why don't shut up?
The best commentators are the coaches. Like Darren Cahill, I think, is a great commentator. But obviously he was in the player's box until the end for Sinner. So
but you don't want a Roger Rashid kind of character
who's just
an insufferable dick.
Yeah, you're not a Rashid fan.
Nah.
You're bearish on Rashid. Rashid.
He gives me the Rashids.
Hey, there we go. That's what the listeners have missed. A lot of requests, actually. A lot of questions about the hiatus in production for Tippy Tabby Sports Podcast.
You've been hitting about.
Ilya Gridnev was tippy tappy sleeping with too many red stripes. No interest in Caribbean redeem.
Well, you were titting about going to your book launch and drinking the tinnies and whatnot.
Book launches and tinnies. Martinis. God, the martinis at the Continental in Newtown. So good.
Absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely. Best $25 I've ever spent. But
on something out of a can.
No, So some questions about why we've been so silent, why we've gone into hibernation. I mean, what have you been doing? It's actually been your fault mostly, because you're sort of like, let's record. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm ready.
No, you're like, every second I was like, I'm just at a dinner at the minute. It's like, okay. And then I check your Instagram. It's like sort of 6:30 PM in Sydney. And it's like, you know, Aaron Timms 4 minutes ago at some dive bar.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I've never been to a dive
bar. Yeah, what are you talking about? Okay, let's talk about
dinner at the minute. Well, at the minute, we're going to talk about at the minute probably, I would say, along with the expression for mine, that's used a lot in sort of rugby league coverage.
Yeah.
It's probably the worst, the worst sort of Australian sports coverage tick of all.
I mean, I thought you were just going to lump that into having a feed as well.
Or having a feed. Well, I mean, it's more, it's used especially in sports coverage. It's like, you know, Australians suffering at the minute. Or, you know, the one I just mentioned.
Yeah.
The other one.
Pat Cummins sweating at the microsecond.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. Let's talk about the cricket, though.
Let's talk about the cricket. I mean, let's talk about the fact that, let's not detract from, obviously, what was a wonderful, wonderful Jared Waitley-like performance by the West Indies. But the reality is, like, Australia just phoned it in. Like, they didn't care. I mean, all they did was stand out in the Gabba and sweat for a bit. And, you know, Cummins looked very hot. But I clearly thought that they were just going to roll over the Windies as they did in Adelaide and kind of couldn't be bothered. And that's basically summed up by Travis Head's king pair. I mean, the way he got out on both occasions
you would have just blocked that Yorker.
In
the second innings, simple block.
Yeah, just a simple block. Like, it wasn't that fast. It wasn't that fast. It's like he wasn't paying attention.
145 Ks arrowed directly at the toes. You would have just simply dispatched it.
Just walked
just
down
a,
the
just
pitch.
A flick.
Just a walk leg down side pitch. Flick. Just there with the Millie Champ and Hall. And see you later, mate. Collected from the Stanley Street end.
Well, you know, for mine, this is for mine. It's the greatest victory in Australia since
India.
Since India. But I was going to say since I don't know, the last West Indies victory in 1997. And actually, I was looking at the lineup that they had for that series. I mean, I'm actually surprised they didn't win more during that series. I can't remember what the score was in 1997, but you know, they had Shivner and Chandrapal, Brian Lara, the bowlers were Ian Bishop, Courtney Walsh and Curly Ambrose. Yeah. And sure, everything else apart from that was a bit rubbish, but you know, Carl Hooper bowling his off spinners.
Carl Hooper came on that 97 tour and then never left. He's still here.
It was so emotional for him. I loved all those things that were like, Brian Lara almost in tears. I'm like, he wasn't even close to crying.
Yeah, he got the
hug from Gilly. While he, you know, Fatty Ian Smith was up on his feet clapping and stuff. and it was like, almost in tears. I'm like, well, unless you are in tears, I'm not sure. Unless it's like palpably almost in tears, I don't think you can bring the tears, you know, quotient into the conversation. You can't bring up the tears.
Yeah. If there's there's no quivering voice or... Yeah. You know,
there's no movement of the chin, there's no sort of lip action, there's nothing going on, then no discussion of tears allowed. The Australians, I guess they, well, what's all this stuff about them all having had COVID at the same time? I think, you know, there was,
what were they doing?
You know, what were they doing? Why were they breathing so much? You know, why were they breathing around each other so much? That's something that they've got to look at for
in a confined space.
Yeah, for the upcoming tours to South Africa or where it's going to be. So, yeah, I mean, I think they sort of just kind of stopped trying. And but it is funny the way the conversation so sort of turns negative so quickly. I mean, yes, to be fair, most of the conversation has been around how good it was that the West Indies won, and, you know, Shamar Joseph, wonderful performance, and how he's going to single-handedly save West Indian cricket or accept the first offer from some sort of two-bit T20 league that comes his way. And it turns out that's already what he's done because he's off to play in Pakistan. He's already been snapped up by the Pakistan Super League. But there is sort of already this kind of like, oh, you know, Pat Cummins, he's a terrible captain, blah, blah, blah. They weren't trying hard enough. Like the negativity sort of creeps in immediately.
I don't think, oh, did it? I mean, I didn't.
A little bit. Like, I mean, it was a sort of bad batting performance. It was terrible batting. It was good bowling performance, I think.
Yeah, but the batting
was just rubbish.
The batting is rubbish, and I mean this persistence with Cameron Green at number four. I mean, when I say persistence, what it's been two games. So the guy's clearly not a number four batsman.
Got to cut him loose. He's clearly Matt Renshaw.
I mean, who were the, when you think of the great Australian number fours? Mark Waugh,
Martin. You got to have the silky Damian skills. Martin,
Michael Clark.
You got to have the silky skills.
Yeah.
If you haven't got silky skills, you do not belong there. You know.
Okay. Thanks, Jose.
You know. Yeah, but I mean, he looked good. He's hit a couple of boundaries and then got out. I mean, he sort of had a couple of cultured clips off the toes kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but I mean, he's obviously the next best batsman in Australia, though, isn't he? Just you look at his record at state level. I mean, what are you going to do? Replace him with Matt Renshaw? Put Matt Renshaw in
Sean Marsh
number four. Bring back Sean Marsh. Give him another go.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure what else he can do. And I mean, the one good thing, obviously, from that performance was that Steve Smith carried his bat in the second innings, and he actually looked very good. I thought he was going to get the runs, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
When he did the ramp shot, I was like, oh, it's all going to happen here.
Yeah.
He does actually seem to play better when the rest of the team is sort of crumbling.
Crumbling. Like
that was the story of the 2019 Ashes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He's
a man. He's a man for a crisis, Smith. So that's good. But I agree with you that the bowling was still very good. I mean, what's his name? Nathan Lyon was a bit toothless, but that's okay. I mean, he sort of tends to go through phases where he is, innocuous.
He was complaining about the wicket from basically the first session.
From Adelaide.
He's saying it's not a pink ball wicket. It should be played during the day. I mean, they do seem to sort of just, I'm not sure that this pink ball thing is gonna persist. I don't think it's like, what's the point? It doesn't really add anything. It was a nice gimmick for a little bit, but
just stick
with the daytime. We don't want to be having dinner. It's break for dinner.
Yeah, no, so even there. Yeah, well, the commentators still can't figure out what to call it. It's dinner. It's sort of like, it's like little lunch or little break and big break.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a sort of nighttime brunch.
Reverse brunch. But also, like, playing in Brisbane at this time of year is frankly like cruel. I mean, it was so huge. You could obviously see how bloody sweaty they all were, and from what I've heard from colleagues in Brisbane, it's like the most humid summer of all time. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So
you always try to get out of
Brisbane
for the big wet. For the
straight
big
out
wet.
Of New Farm. Yeah. Just yeah. Leave.
Yep. Fortitude Valley.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been to Brisbane since the 1980s. So that was good. Great. Don't the West Indies just play with such a smile on their face?
Oh god,
I loved all this kind of crap. I mean, the sort of, you got a lot of that, you got a lot of the cricket is strong when the West Indies are strong. Cricket needs a strong West Indies. I'm like, well,
do they?
That's well, I mean, sure, it's always better, of course, but because they are like when they are good, they're obviously the best team to watch. Like there's no question.
What are they? They're the Fiji equivalent.
Yeah, basically. But you know, I mean, all of that is obviously that's not going to happen just because of the way the money's distributed around the cricketing world.
Yeah. Stage three distributions.
We need stage three tax cuts for cricket, and Albo is just the man to deliver them.
Yep.
He's up. I do think. I mean, we've discussed this previously, but I do think cricket at some point is inevitably going to have to move to a football style calendar with international windows because it just doesn't work otherwise.
No, but then I think it's just hard from a even harder from well, a from a scheduling perspective.
I mean, the reason that you know won't happen at the same time, even though I think it should, is that India doesn't let any of its players play in overseas T20 leagues. So, I mean, they have to literally change nationality to go and that's why you get all these Indians who are playing in Major League Cricket and why the US national team across all the formats is basically an India D team or whatever.
Yeah.
So the Indians are sort of locked into playing the IPL and they can't play anywhere else. So basically the rest of the year is open for international cricket for India. And so India is always going to want to have international cricket sort of organized during the non-IPL months.
Yeah. So that you know.
And the only two countries that can really afford to sustain that amount of competition, of course, are England and Australia. So
yeah.
It's once again, it's India's fault.
Reinforces the inequality in cricket. There's certainly no trickle down effect
no Laffer curve. Where's the Laffer curve? that was good.
That was good. The other thing that's quite interesting about the cricket is obviously they're going into the T20 and the hit and giggle part of the season, but Glenn Maxwell has sort of gone from falling off a golf cart to sort of falling off the wagon completely. It's a bit unclear like what's happened to
he got pissed and fell over again, did he?
Well, he seems to have gotten pissed a few times and just fallen over.
Yeah. I mean, there is something really admirable about that, isn't there? Because that type of play just doesn't exist anymore.
No, one who, you know, has the flashes of brilliance and then just goes completely, you know, just off the rails.
6 months on the sauce.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that needs to be brought back.
Yeah. Bring it back. Redeem. Yeah. So what other cricket, very professional production here. What other cricket, tell us about that. What other cricket issues did you want to discuss? Josh Hazlewood, great form, really good. He bowled very well. It was a weird sort of series because Pat Cummins started off really well and was taking all those wickets and had that sort of, I mean, in the first test, he was basically bowling McGrath areas, as I think I texted to you. Not that it was a particularly original insight, but he just had that kind of, you know, top of off stump, you know, coming in.
Relentlessness.
Just relentless, putting it there and getting wickets, just charging in. He just looked inevitable.
Yeah.
But then he sort of dropped off a bit and Josh Hazlewood sort of picked up the slack. But
Hazlewood didn't bowl badly sort of earlier on. But
No, he didn't. He was bowling well as well. Yeah, of course. So I was just saying like the lion's share of the wickets among the pacers seemed to go to him towards the end of the series.
Yeah.
End of the series. I'm in the second match of the two-match series. But did you watch England and India?
Well, I saw.
You saw the highlights.
Yeah, I saw the highlights.
Five minute package.
I don't have KO Pro or whatever the hell it is. You know, it's just
Fubo.
Fubo. Yeah.
I signed up for Fubo the other day actually because I wanted to Fubo's like some sort of crap streaming service here, but
to watch I wanted La to Liga.
Do something. No, I wanted to do something on, you know, for my Guardian thing. I wanted to do something on sort Saudi. Of US cover. I did that already. I did that last week, mate. In case you missed it, Saudis explained what Saudi. A lot of people just call it Saudi. What Saudi is doing in football?
Saudi.
No, I wanted to do something on the Asian Cup and the African Cup of Nations as viewed from America. But unfortunately, like, so the Asian Cup is on Paramount Plus, which is like a CBS thing.
Yeah.
It's like the CBS's streaming service. And then the African Cup of Nations is only on Fubo. And so I signed up for Fubo and I watched a bit of it. And it's like, they don't actually do, there's no analysis. It's basically, you know, you turn it on right at the start of the match and they have the commentators who are sort of some English sort of
indicators
who, you know, some like old English blokes who sort of just around sort of American broadcasting for long enough to get a job doing this kind of thing. And then, you know, the moment the match is over, it's done. That's the end of the coverage. So there's nothing, there's no real sort of analysis or anything. But on Fubo, the whole reason I bring this up is on Fubo, I noticed that the tiers, you get sort of three tiers of subscription. Top tier is, you know, pro, the second tier is premier or something. And then the bottom tier, which is like sort of the top two tiers are like sort of 80, 90 bucks a year. The bottom tier, which is like 10 bucks a year, is just called Latino. It's like good to have a bit of racism built into soft, casual racism built into the subscription tiers. Here you go, sort of the crappy subscription tiers.
It starts late, might not turn up.
Anyway, so you didn't watch England India, but did you follow this control? Maybe we should talk about sort of baseball, right? Because I mean, obviously. The tenor of the conversation changed over the course of the test when it looked like England was going to lose. Everyone was joking about, you know, Bazball's, you know, delusional and they're going to get found out and it's going to be an embarrassment and all this kind of stuff. But then obviously they won and, you know, this is the weird thing about Bazball, isn't it? Is they keep on sort of producing results. Like it's not sort of as... Yeah, it's like that clip of Nathan Lyon on the Mick Malloy show, whatever it is, where Mick Malloy's like, "Hey, what's this baseball thing?" And Nathan Lyon's like, "Oh, it's just a bit of shit, isn't it?" I'm like, "Well, it's actually successful. It works. Yeah. You know, the relentless positivity, the fast scoring, the sort of just going out there and hitting the ball like a head case." Even when they're not winning, it sort of changes the mentality of the opposition so much that it does have like a tangible impact on the way that the sport is played, right?
Oh, they're playing like Fiji in rugby. Look, I think all that's true, but I mean, if you look at the scorecard, I mean, what are the chances of like Ollie Pope. All people, you know, scoring 190 again? Like, that, I mean, maybe they're quite high. I mean, maybe the effect that you're talking about really it does manifest itself.
Even before this match, it had sort of, you know, created enough conversation or enough doubt in oppositions that it was, you know, it was never so sort of unsuccessful that it could kind of be dismissed out of hand. I mean, you know, as we've mentioned before, as many of our regular listeners, you know, Sam O'Leary and Ilya Gridnev will recall, you know, the English were better in three of the five tests in the Ashes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it just feels like, you know, this kind of Australia's eagerness to dismiss baseball just seems a little bit silly, I think. And, you know, that's really all I wanted to say. But there was the other thing with the Ollie. I don't know if you watched any of the Ollie Pope innings, but
apart from the highlights,
basically it's like running at the ball, like charging the ball, and then also doing all of this switch hitting, right? Which Harsher, Bogle, and Kevin Peterson had a big argument about. Because Harsher was like, "Oh, we've got to," you know, as India was sort of looking like it was going to lose the match, he was like, "Oh, we've got to outlaw switch hitting. It's ridiculous. It's like It's like a bowler has to announce that he's going to be bowling right arm over the wicket or around the wicket or whatever. You know, a batsman should be held to the sort of their stated intention when they walk out to bat, right? So you shouldn't be allowed to swish it. And I was like, I don't think that's I disagree with that. I mean, you know, obviously the reverse sweep is a switch hit. It's a little bit different because Ollie Pope was, yeah, the switch hit he was doing was kind of like that leg side slap, you know, because not really it's not really a proper cricket shot, right? It's not like a proper pull or a whatever. You're just kind of, you know, just launching the bat at the ball with your weak hand.
Yeah.
And sort of just hoping for the best. But, you know, it's a strategy of disruption. So I disagree. Harsher, if you're listening, I disagree with you, mate.
Yeah, well, Boglo is frankly pretty annoying anyway, right? It's like, okay, mate, you were great mates with Warnie for sort of 5 minutes.
G'day, Ash.
Yeah. I was like, shut up, Boglo. But, I mean, I guess in terms of like announcing your intention and having to telegraph the switch hitting, I mean, I guess why do the bowlers have to announce when they're coming over or around the wicket? I mean, presumably with the way technology is going these days, they'll get rid of the umpires eventually, and you won't have the old bloke kind of standing there.
Well, who's going to hold on to the hat?
Well, there'll be a little manhole.
A little Boston Dynamics robot to sort of
dance, just to scoot under the field.
And then just like exterminate everyone on the field. but the point obviously with the bowling is that you can't, like, if you're running into bowl right-handed, your body is, from the moment that you're starting to run in, I know this because I was a very distinguished pace bowler in my time, you know, your body's already sort of in the position to be bowling right-handed, right? Like, you can't sort of change at the last minute because you're like running in sort of from like left of the wicket to, you know.
I mean, I was just thinking more in terms of whether you're coming, I was just thinking more in terms of if you're coming over the wicket or going around. I mean, the idea.
Well, but I mean, even that is like, what, so you're kind of running into bowl over the wicket and then all of a sudden you sort of do this little detour to bowl around the wicket, like you lose all your pace, right?
Yeah, but you'd be running straight at the stumps.
Lose your pace.
Hence having to move the umpire. Just get the umpire just completely out of the way.
You just
kind of ghost into the far post, and then, you know.
Maybe just virtual, like a virtual stump as opposed to a physical stump. So you could actually bowl through the stump. You just bowl like straight. You know, that could be pretty good. But
or just play from one end.
Or go really wide on the crease. I mean, a little bit like Daniil Medvedev, to segue to the tennis with the wide, you know, he's doing like sort of double style serves.
Yeah,
quite a bit. Kind of just go out wide and slap it down.
I mean, well, that's what you do when you're a chess master. I mean, it's like everyone going.
How many times do we have to hear that he's a chess master?
He's so smart.
He comes up with a new metaphor. He speaks so many languages. French is so good. You heard him speak French?
Have you heard him speak? I mean, you know, umpire. He just, you know, when he's yelling at the umpire, that's always good. But the guy was cooked.
He's good. He's great. He's what, more hours on court than any other player in Grand Slam history ever.
Yeah, that's like kind of ridiculous. And I'm glad that he ultimately destroyed the wife beater in the form of Zverev.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing likable about Zverev at all.
No, he's just a horrible personality. And, you know, kind of a boring player to watch as well. You know, he's got a big serve. He's got a very good serve.
So he's no Michael Schtick, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's no Jeff Tarango. You know, Tarango's serve was amazing, but it is good that he lost, and that also Djokovic was knocked out, so you had this you know, this interesting clash.
Well, that was interesting, though. That was in terms of like the last time there was a final at the Australian Open that didn't contain, you know, one of Federer, Nadal, Djokovic. 2005. Bloody Leighton Hewitt.
Yeah.
ridiculous.
Oh yeah. Leighton against
Marat Safin.
Marat Safin, right? Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Saphos.
Hewitt got thrashed.
Yeah,
I
mean, you know, Marat Safin was good. Safin basically is actually... sort of won a couple. He won Safin... a couple of Grand Slams, and he got to 30, and he's like, "I'm done."
Man, yeah, exactly. Enough. Exactly. Like that's the template for someone like Kyrgios. I was like, I mean, Safin always looked as though he just could not be bothered.
And he's sort of, I think now, a sort of ally of Putin or something. He's kind of just probably doing some war crimes as we speak. But
Depardieu, just, you know, hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry Depps. yeah, but no, it was a good match. It was a good match.
Yeah. And, now, just really get fired up for maybe the Monte Carlo Open.
Yeah. Yeah. You've circled that in your calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know, we'll be doing a live stream from Monte Carlo, or maybe the Madrid Masters. I mean, I had discussion with Harry Sargent last night in terms of,
yeah,
like, which would be, you know, the best sort of clay court tournament to go to. Harry was leaning Rome. I thought probably Madrid would be the one to go to.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, now that Sinner's come good, maybe. Yeah. I mean, there's an argument for both. I mean, you've always been a great fan of the Terre Battue.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. You've always been on the beaten earth. I'm really looking forward to seeing more of the young Frenchman Arthur Cazot, or as Rene Stubbs pronounced his name in the ESPN coverage, Arthur Cajal. Arthur Cajal is going to be good. The other good one that she did was, you know, obviously Jung Chin Won is kind of like a difficult name for
anyone
to pronounce. I think Todd Woodbridge in the trophy presentation called her Chong or something. Chong Chinwen, but Renee Stubbs called her Kinwen. G'day, Kinwen.
G'day, Kinny.
Kinos. Kinwen and Cajal.
That sounds like an action flick from the 80s.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. good session. I think we've run out of insights into the sport of the moment. But we've only got a minute and a half left anyway, so wrap it up real quick.
Final thoughts. Well, we haven't discussed the Asian Cup at all, so maybe next week we'll be here to sort of talk about
Jackson Irvine at set piece is so good.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I watched some of the I watched like the game against Indonesia. They were absolute rubbish.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's like I watched sort of the first four matches or so, and I mean, kind of Qatar, you know, who obviously won a few matches, were just really poor. I mean, the standard is
it's not
pretty
great.
Bad, and like the Japanese have obviously not been playing well, and neither of the Koreans really. Like, no one seems to be playing particularly well.
It's like, again, they're just all phoning it in. It's like they can't be bothered. It's all too hard.
Yeah. Another failure from Graham Arnold. But that's what we want. We want to go back to the Graham Arnold as a failure now. We've had enough of the triumph narrative.
Yeah. Arnold, so let's go back.
Yeah, but we can talk about that next time.
Yes, we will. We will.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.